Actually, Moose Miller in for Esme on this Saturday night, where it was kind of a soggy day at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, but that never is a problem when you're just making it a digestive triathlon, right? And wandering around trying all of the different, there's some of the turkey legs that, boy, I saw on the Today Show that I'm definitely going to have to try to grab up. That's some good looking stuff, because Andrew Zimmern was on the Today Show with his culinary taste buds and suggestions, and it was quite interesting. Some things that I went, wow, that's at the fair? I never knew about that. So I learned a few things there. Moose Miller on this Saturday night, welcoming into the conversation a guy that we've had on from time to time here. Julio Ojeda Zapata is back, consumer technology columnist with the Pioneer Press. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I was just reading this tweet by you. Just packed the college kid off for sophomore year. Not as devastated as I was a year ago, but I will confess to being a bit verklempt.
Yeah. I had to Google the correct spelling of verklempt, by the way.
I was going to say, that's you're throwing down a little Yiddish, my friend.
Yeah. I have some good good Jewish friends here in my neighborhood. They're going to be very impressed.
Yeah, I was going to say that before you know it, they'll be saying you're totally mashugada. So
it's, I'm going to have to Google that, too.
Yes, you will. So let's jump in with what we grabbed you for on the show tonight, and that was talking about, let's start with the new Galaxy 8 that's coming out, because Samsung, man, they got to get a winner here, because the Note 7 with the exploding battery pack, that just didn't do well for them.
Yeah, the thing caught fire, which meant airlines were banning it, and at one point they just canceled the product entirely, so...
Oh, what did they do? Because I live in the Apple world, but a lot of people in the Android world that had those phones that loved them, they had to give them up. So what did they do, an exchange program? How did that all work?
Yeah, they were issuing refunds and such. Samsung's Galaxy Note line traditionally has been very popular, because the phones are slightly larger. They're larger than most phones. Mm-hmm. So they sort of fit roughly between the traditional cell phone and a small tablet. So for a lot of people, they're very good all-in-one devices. They have styli for note-taking and drawing and so forth. So they're good compromise devices. So it was kind of unfortunate that the Note 7 had that problem, but the Note 8 that is just coming out looks pretty promising.
Sure, tell me about that. What's going to maybe bring people back to the Note 8 or take them away from the iPhone?
I haven't seen one personally yet. They haven't been released, but I've been reading up on it, and it doesn't look all that different from the previous one, but it apparently has a stunning screen. And one of the features that sort of grabs my attention is the camera. The Samsung is jumping on the dual camera bandwagon. As you may know, the Apple iPhone 7 Plus has a dual camera on the back, which allows for some interesting photography tricks like blurred backgrounds and optical zoom and so forth.
Yeah, you get that, what's called portrait mode.
Yeah, the portrait mode, which I love, by the way. It's fantastic. And the Note 8 is going to, you know, have similar features along those lines. Hmm. And that's when people buy smartphones, you know, the photography features are very, very important, because that's usually the camera that you have on you to take pictures. I was just in New Hampshire for a family reunion, and I'm not kidding here. I took about 6,000 photos.
Wow.
And so I was whipping out my iPhone all the dang time. And so it's, you know, photography is very important, and Samsung traditionally has had really, really good, very competitive camera features. And so the dual camera setup sort of brings it in line with the iPhone 7 Plus, which is kind of exciting.
Sure. What about the iPhone 8? Is that going to be available by Christmas time this year? Or I keep hearing that there's no problems with production supply, and then next day a new article pops up. Yes, there are problems.
Well, it's hard to say because we're still kind of in the realm of rumor. We have no confirmation on anything, but Apple usually announces its new phones in mid-September. Early to mid September, so we're coming up on the usual time frame here, and rumor has it Apple will sort of make incremental upgrades to his existing iPhone 7 phones, but then it'll announce an entirely new iPhone 8, and that's where we might see a later release. It might announce the product, but not release it until late September or October. That's a definite possibility because it's a brand new product that's going to be in high demand probably. But the rumors about it are very interesting. Apparently, it's going to have no home button, which is kind of strange. But that's going to apparently allow for more screen real estate, sort of edge to edge screen. Facial recognition. This is not a new feature. Other phone makers have had this, but you can sort of log in by having the camera sort of recognize your face. You hold it up to your face, it recognizes your face, you're in. Apparently, it's going to have wireless charging. That means you can sort of set the phone down on a charging pad, and you don't have to futz with a cable. Again, not a new feature. Other phone makers have offered that, but apparently, there's a very strong possibility that feature is going to be found in the phone. Back to photography, it's probably going to have some significant camera advancements. And the new iOS 11 operating system is also going to trigger a lot of really interesting photography improvements. So I'm really looking forward to that.
What about the updated iWatch? What are you hearing along those lines? Because I'm hearing that you might be able to get an iWatch that you won't need to pair it to your phone to make a phone call.
Well, there's rumors that the new, the third generation Apple Watch might have built-in cellular capability. Again, not a new feature. Other smartwatch makers have had that. But that would allow the watch to operate independently for getting data off the internet. When I go out, I do a lot of bicycling. When I go out bicycling, I take my Apple Watch, but I also take my phone because without the phone, it's somewhat incapacitated. If the watch has its own cellular capability for pulling down GPS. Not GPS data, but internet data, notifications and so forth. If it can do a lot of the things that the phone already does, then you could just leave your phone behind, which would be nice.
Yeah.
Unclear if that means you can make calls on the watch. That's a possibility. Right now with the Apple Watch, if your phone is nearby and you get a call, you can actually answer it on the watch. Like if my wife calls me and I'm at work and I'm across the newsroom and my phone is on my desk, I can answer on the watch, which is a little weird because you feel like Dick Tracy, and it's a little disruptive because you're bothering people around you. But it's kind of a cool feature.
Julio Ojeda Zapata is with us, consumer technology columnist for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. It's Moose Miller, and tonight for Esme Murphy here on WCCO. Apple apparently is also going to be kind of relaunching its high-def TV, the Apple TV, because that's been around for a while, but it's never really taken off.
Yeah, the Apple TV is this little black puck thing that you connect to your TV to get all of your Apple movie content and so forth, and you can buy or rent movies right on it. And access YouTube and Netflix and so forth. And the Apple TV is a very slick device. I have one and I like it a lot. The big problem with it is that it does not support 4K video, sort of higher resolution video. So if you have a newer TV that has a 4K resolution and you plug an Apple TV to it, there's a bit of incompatibility there because you can't have 4K content displayed on your TV because the Apple TV itself does not support that. So rumor has it we're going to see a 4K Apple TV, which Apple fans have been asking for. So that's kind of an important feature because some of the Apple TV competitors, such as the Roku box, have had 4K TV for some time. That's why in my living room I have both a Roku and an Apple TV, both of them, these little black puck things hooked up to my TV. Mm-hmm. Because if I want to see some 4K content, then I have to switch over to the Roku. Even though as an Apple guy, I tend to prefer the Apple TV generally. The Apple TV, as you noted, is kind of an underdog. It's not other devices of this kind are eating Apple's lunch right now. But so Apple really does need to get 4K video resolution on there to sort of get back, sort of achieve parity with its competitors.
Well, Apple just announced, too, I guess they're going to spend $1 billion or $2 billion on new content for Apple TV?
Apple is getting into the original programming, Netflix, Hulu, and so Amazon, they all create their own TV shows and their own movies now, and Apple is mm-hmm. jumping on that, which I find a little weird because Apple is a maker of hardware devices.
Yeah, I wonder what Steve Jobs would think about that because I couldn't agree with you more. And to spend $1 billion in that arena when Netflix is spending $6 billion, you're dipping a toe in the water when everybody else is taking a huge plunge. And I don't know if that fits into the original approach of what Steve Jobs thought Apple was about.
Yeah, I try to avoid the what would Steve Jobs think argument, but it does feel really weird, and some of its initial attempts haven't been very successful. It had a Planet of the Apps show, which is which is a bit like Project Runway, but for app developers and so forth. If Apple eventually comes out with a hit show, though, that'll shut everybody up.
Sure.
Releases a program like Hulu was an underdog compared to Netflix and Amazon, but it came out with The Handmaid's Tale, and that was a huge hit. It was a really good show, and it was very, very successful. So that put Hulu on the map right away. And if Apple does the same thing, comes out with a show that people like, it's the point I'm making about this being weird will be moot. We'll see what happens.
And real quick here, I just got done seeing a movie today with a buddy of mine, and as we were leaving the theater, he pulls out his smartphone and he's like, check out my cameras. And he has cameras now in his house. He could see into his living room, and he was showing the other rooms and outside the house on his phone in real time. And these weren't photos. It was video surveillance. And I was like, wow, how creepy is that?
It's funny that you mentioned that because I just got back from a family reunion in New Hampshire. And before I left home, I set up cameras that showed all the areas inside my house and outside my house. I basically had the whole place set up with video surveillance, and the video surveillance also had motion detection. So if somebody
and it's got sound detection.
Yeah, and sound detection. So I set up my house in such a way that if anybody stuck a toe inside my house, I would get all kinds of alerts on my phone and my watch. I have to tell you, I was slightly disappointed that somebody did not actually break in. That would have been fun. Yeah.
Well, we've gotten to the point though now where it's amazing, the technology, and this is all wireless. He was telling me the cameras that he's got set up in the house, and I'm thinking
they all hook into your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And you just control everything on your phone, and you can do that from around the world. And I wasn't sure whether I turned the stove off, so I asked a buddy of mine in the neighborhood to sort of pop into my house and just double check that. And when he walked in, I could see, you know, I could see him on the surveillance cameras and so forth. So I had confirmation that the capability actually worked.
Wow, that's just amazing. Well, you know, it's wow. I don't know if I want to get on the path of putting cameras up in my house. You know, granted, they're not in bedrooms and bathrooms, but you know, in living rooms and common areas, a kitchen.
It's becoming pretty common. If you don't want to set up your own cameras, you can just ask Comcast or AT&T to do that for you. They have a whole suite
of
security products. It's becoming very, very common.
Yeah. Or you got ring.com and stuff like that. So
exactly.
Yeah. Just amazing. Well, Julio, it's always fascinating. We always run out of time. I really appreciate you joining us tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime you need me.
And we enjoy reading your stuff in the Pioneer Press. Technology columnist Julio Ojeda Zapata joining us here on WCCO Radio. It's 8:23. I'm Moose Miller sitting in tonight for Esme Murphy. Well, Roshini Rajkumar will be kicking off the fair broadcast with Senator Al Franken. That'll be live tomorrow on CCO on the front porch starting up at 12:10. You do not want to miss that. I saw Senator Franken out at the fair just kind of enjoying some of the food. And, man, you know, a lot of people coming up asking him questions like, what the hell is going on in Washington these days? So that will be must tune in listening 12:10 tomorrow. Senator Al Franken live on WCCO Radio. It's Moose Miller sitting in here tonight for Esme Murphy. Coming up here at 8:35, we're going to head to the Iron Range. Yeah, before you know it, we'll be talking fall colors. What a great place that is to go. You know, plus you can also head up Duluth Way as well and maybe check in on Betty's Pies, right? Beth Pierce is going to join us, director of the Iron Range Tourism Bureau, as we talk about some great places and ideas to plan for going up north there now, you know, on the range there. So that'll be coming up here at 8:35. A story that I wanted to spend a little time on tonight because it's really kind of lost traction and its status in our national discussion because we've had so much going on with Hurricane Harvey, President Trump's pardon of Sheriff Arpaio, and a couple of other things going on in Washington. But the USS John McCain, the destroyer that was ran into the oil tanker where we lost close to a dozen sailors, I think 10, maybe it was 10 are still missing at this point. There are reports that it lost steering just before the collision. And that kind of starts to play into the question of, do we have a problem with our cybersecurity on board some of these high-tech naval vessels? Because when you look at the USS Fitzgerald, which was badly damaged back on June 17th, when it had a collision with a cargo vessel. And then in May, we had the USS Champlain, the Lake Champlain, that hit a South Korean fishing vessel. What's going on here? Jeff Stutzman, who is an ex-information warfare specialist in the Navy and now works at a cyber threat intelligence company, suspects that maybe there's something more here than just human error. Because, you know, the other thing is, you have people at watch on these ships with binoculars and they're looking out. I mean, human eyeballs. It's not just we're relying on the technology and it's like a video game. You know, people still stand watch. So what's going on? Is it the Chinese? Is it the Russians? Did they find a way in? and they're messing with the steering capabilities, or worse yet, the sensor capabilities of these ships. No, it's all clear. You can keep going. Head down this path. When in fact, you're heading into imminent. I don't know the answer to it, but boy, I sure hope we're asking a lot of questions on this. Another individual who worked in a cyber warfare unit of the Israeli intelligence agency for close to 10 years said they believe countries like Russia and China could have the capability to launch cyber attacks on warships. Oh my God, if that's going on, what are we going to do about that? These experts went on to point out that there are two main ways that a warship can be interfered with. Number one, attack the GPS capabilities and systems, which would impact the navigation, or just a malware attack on the computer network. Because you've seen people that they can hack into a car now, shut down parts of the car's operation, the power steering, take over the steering, bring it to a stop, shut it down. Whenever there's control of a vessel done by computer or navigation that's done by computer, you've got a risk for cyber attack. I just find it interesting that we just haven't heard a lot on this subject, but I suspect we're probably going to hear something down the road. Because there's too many coincidences here for just human error. Anyway, just a thought. It is 8:31. We'll come back. We'll check that WCCO weather forecast for you coming up here next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ooh, nice pick on the bumper there, Kevin. Kevin Reed is working hard behind the scenes here starting this hour. Moose Miller in for Esme Murphy on WCCO Radio. Before you know it, we'll be talking about fall colors and all of the fun things to do, especially if you head up north and want to soak some of that up, take some photos and just smell that air, feel all of that. Right now in Eveleth, Minnesota, it's 57 degrees. Humidity is at 93% because they've got drizzle going on. We are joined by Beth Pierce, director of the Iron Range Tourism Bureau. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thank you.
We wanted to shed a little light and put some ideas in people's heads to come up your way and start spending some money.
We sure do. It'd be great to have them in fall, and northern Minnesota is beautiful, as you know. It's nice and cool and crisp, and it's true fall. So there's lots of things for people to do.
Well, I was looking at your website, which if you go to ironrange.org, you'll find just a great site to begin your fall color planning and just all kinds of other stuff outside of the fall colors. We'll get to trail riding and stuff that you can do with, hiking and motorcycles and all of that good stuff. But tell me about right now for fall colors. People still have time to maybe book some hotels and figure out some areas to try to time things just right?
They absolutely do. And I think you're going to be looking at mid-September usually through the very first part of October, unless we have, a miraculously long, slow fall. It doesn't last long, but we have some great lodging deals right now, both midweek and weekend. So it's and any kind of lodging you want, bed and breakfast, villas on the lake, all suites, hotels, regular hotels, camping, whatever you want. So there's lots of options.
Well, and you got so many great little, towns all up and down the range and then all the way on over towards, north of Duluth there. And because I don't know if in Ely, Britain's is still there, but man, some of the best corned beef hash I ever had in my life was at one of those little cafes called Britain's in Ely. It was Ely, Minnesota.
Yeah, there's lots of great little cafes. And you mentioned Duluth, and Duluth is a, you know, if you want to come up and experience the entire Iron Range, which is the Mesabi Iron Range, which would be pretty much from Hoyt Lakes in the east over to Hibbing in the west, you can go up right up through Duluth and head up on the North Shore and take in a little bit of that. And, of course, it's very crowded up there that time of year because there's lots of wonderful things to do there. But if you cut inland at Silver Bay, you're actually going to take the Superior National Forest Scenic Byway. And that's a very peaceful and beautiful stretch of lovely highway. It's wonderful for motorcycles. They love it. And just great for driving, of course. And then you're going to end up, that'll take you inland to the range. So you can kind of get, you know, you can do a loop the opposite way too and take Highway 73 up through Moose Lake and start in Hibbing and go all the way over to the shore and come down. But it's really a nice way to experience northern Minnesota in the fall.
How have you guys been doing with regard to precipitation and dryness? And, you know, we start to get into the fall and then you start thinking, you know, a little bit of fire concern and stuff like that.
It has been fairly wet, I would say. We were kind of complaining the other day. Of course, this is another rainy weekend and we've had our share, I feel like, this summer. But, you know, you can't go wrong in the fall, really. It's just so pretty and it does tend to dry up a little bit. So,
how far is the Mesabi Bicycle Trail now? That thing has really kind of grown its way out over the years and it's been remarkable to watch the community embrace of that bicycle trail.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful trail, and of course it starts in Grand Rapids and then it goes right around 80 miles all the way to a little hamlet of McKinley, which is just on the west side of Biwabik, where Giants Ridge Golf and Ski Resort is located. So you go through all the Iron Range towns, and of course starting in about, we hope, mid-September, our brand new bridge on Highway 53 is going to be open, and the Mesabi Trail is crossing that bridge. So that's
cool.
Going to be quite an experience. Yes, it's an 1,100 foot long bridge, and it's 200 feet. It spans a former mine pit that is filled with water, so it's going to be quite the experience for people on the Mesabi Trail and walking, of course, too. So
that's awesome.
It's very nice.
I just learned something because I've always said Biwabik. But you say Biwabik, huh?
Well, I'm not a native, so I could be saying it wrong. I grew up in Iowa.
Okay, that's good to say.
It works either way.
Okay.
It's a great little town, however you pronounce it.
Well, and it's Minnesota, for crying out loud. So depending on how you hang and bend your vowels, we could all be
right.
Wrong. So how about something that's kind of popped up here in the last decade or so, which is ATV trail riding? There's certain folks that I think kind of look down their nose on this, but that's grown.
It really has grown, and it's, you know, ATVs are outnumbering snowmobile purchases. People are finding it's a longer season, of course. And there's lots of, you know, utility uses for ATVs as well as recreational. So people are buying them and looking for trails. And we have some amazing trails. We have an OHV park where you can really, of course, out on the state trails. We don't want people to be tearing up the road. We don't want people, you know, racing through the puddles and really churning up that dirt. We want them to ride responsibly. But in this park, you can do whatever you want. So you can plow through the, you know, you can tear up the dirt, you can plow through the puddles, you can really kind of go crazy there. So it's a great place for people to play and then for some more kind of the mellow trail riding that we like to see. There's lots of opportunities for that too, so we kind of have the best of both
worlds. You know, I think a lot of folks, they first get introduced to the Iron Range, if you're not from there, by their journeys into Duluth, and you see the, you know, the taconite and the ore mining setups and the tours that go with all of that stuff. But when you travel out into the range, I mean, there's some neat places to go and learn more about, you know, what, you know, has been a big part of Minnesota's history with, you know, building America.
Absolutely. And I would challenge people to consider what this nation's position would be in the world if we hadn't had access to domestic steel for the last 150 years. So it's really an amazing story, and I think everyone should learn about it because it's an American story, not just a Minnesota story.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, there's a fair going on up in Embarrass, isn't there, this weekend?
There is, and they do some great horse riding, and they have a mud run, and they do all kinds of fun things up there. So it's a little bit wet for them, but I know they're having fun.
Well, it was a little bit wet here today. Believe me, folks were kind of dealing with that. As far as, you start to get out of the fall months and the incredible, colors and the hiking and the bicycle riding, and if you got a motorcycle, you can't go wrong with taking a great long bike riding weekend or week. But winter months, if you're a trail rider for snowmobiling or, like cross-country skiing, this is a great part of the country to really enjoy that.
It really is, and I think we forget that, northern Minnesota has world-class snowmobile trail system. They really do. They're World Cup trails. They go on forever. You can go from the Hibbing, Virginia, Eveleth, Mountain Iron area. You can go all the way to Canada. You can go to the North Shore. You can just ride all day, and you're going to find just a really great system and lots of, little restaurants along the way, and, of course, access to lots of lodging in our towns. And, it's a great system. And people don't realize about you make a good point about the cross-country skiing, because there's a number of, I think we have, I want to say 8 or 9 trail systems, mm-hmm. just in my region of northern Minnesota that are, they're cared for by clubs, and they're, and people use them, and they're very mm-hmm. well maintained. Some of them are even lit. So there's lots of options for motorized or non-motorized.
When I think of the range, though, I also think of food, and I think of pasties or pasties, depending on where you're from. But you guys have done a job on your site, ironrange.org, for people, because now with the Food Network and all of these different cooking shows and diners and dives and stuff like that, people like to plan what I like to call little digestive triathlons.
Absolutely. We do have some unique places to go. And, of course, pastries are my favorite thing, and we have some wonderful bakeries, and they have these kind of old world, style, the petitza, which is a really stretched dough that is rolled. It's very thin, and it's filled with nuts and honey and cinnamon, and it's rolled up. It's a petitza, and it's a really delicious. There's just lots of really cool little bakeries along the way. There's Cane Lakes Candy. They make homemade chocolates. They have all kinds of any kind of chocolate you could want, hand-dipped, handmade. They're really delicious. But there's also the, as you say, the pasties and sarmas and some of those traditional Eastern European foods that were so popular with the miners when they came here.
Well, and that's the thing, today. Yeah, and also Italian food that, I don't know if people equate that, but there's some great Italian restaurants up on the range and Italian family restaurants that have held on for 3 generations, 4 generations now.
There really are. Valentini's in Chisholm is one, and they mm-hmm. They make their pasta. They do an awesome chicken cacciatore, and there was there really was a very strong Italian population that immigrated here in the in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and they still have a great tradition up on the range today.
Sure do. And it's not quite range, but, you got to run up to 2 harbors. We got to talk about Betty's Pies. I mean, for crying out loud, that's an institution.
It absolutely is. And it's a great view up there, too.
Yes, it is. And, they've done so much work, up with that highway up there over the years and how that's affected Betty's Pies and other businesses up along that stretch there with the work that's kind of come and gone over the years on 61. But I have such a warm spot in my heart for the range and then just the Duluth area of Minnesota. And to be able to touch base with you tonight and maybe, who knows, we'll plant a thought or two in somebody's head that might not have thought about heading up this fall or maybe even in the winter months to enjoy a part of Minnesota that if you live in the big city, man, you really owe it to yourself to get out and check out this part of America.
You really do, and I know sometimes people think of the Iron Range and they think it's maybe this big industrial area, and you do get that landscape, but you're also going to get, the Superior National Forest borders many of our towns, George Washington mm-hmm. State Forest, so there's lots of green, and we work and play right up to the edge of the mine, so you'll see active mining, but you'll also see some woods, trees, lakes, and everything else about northern Minnesota.
The other thing is, you know, when you go into some of these like little cafes and diner spots and whatnot, you know, if you sit down at the counter or, you know, the bar or whatever, and you get to talking to the locals and the regulars there, you'll discover that with the speed of the internet today, there are people that have moved back into this part of the world that they love it because they've got access to New York and Chicago and Miami and Los Angeles, but they don't have all the crap that comes with living in those big cities. And they've got that instant access right there on their computer and they're living in God's country.
Absolutely. You're an hour away from a lot of solitude if you like that. So or less, really. So it's not far to go to experience.
Oh, for sure. Well, Beth, we'll point people to ironrange.org to begin their journey when it comes to learning about Iron Range tourism and maybe some thoughts this fall and this winter. It's been a real pleasure catching up with you.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. We'll have to have you back here down the road. Moose Miller in tonight for Esme Murphy on WCCO. Our McCarthy Auto World time is 8:49. State Fair savings up to $8,000 or 0% for 6 years on select Buicks at McCarthy Auto World in Coon Rapids. Wow, that'll take you back. Shania Twain, who has kind of relaunched her career here recently. I caught her the other morning on the Today Show with a new single, and still looks the same, still sounds the same, and more power to her. Moose Miller in tonight for Esme Murphy on WCCO. It's 8:53 coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll get the latest from CBS World and National News on Hurricane Harvey, which the wind part of this event is over. But the rain part is just beginning. And we were talking earlier with somebody from the National Oceanographic Association, NOAA, out of Miami. And we were both kind of sharing the same concern that it's going to be this rain event that's really going to be the story of Hurricane Harvey. Yes, there's been catastrophic wind damage and stuff like that, but I'm telling you, if the rain stuff holds true as to what could be coming down, you know, there are areas that got 10 to 12 inches of rain here already. And if you add another 24 to 36, even 40 inches of rain on top of that, what does Houston and Victoria, Texas do? I mean, we've seen a lot of devastation photos and video out of Rockport, Texas. But, man, I'm telling you, the Houston area is the one to keep your eye on because they're a low-lying area, and they're kind of a lot like New Orleans. It does not take much to flood that city up. So we'll be kind of following that pretty closely, and we'll get an update from CBS here on WCCO. I'll be sitting in on Monday night and Tuesday night for Al Malmberg. Looking forward to that. And a story that we're going to try to see if we can line some people up to speak to this a little bit more, but we're rapidly entering into, you know, this disruption world of .com internet businesses that like Uber and Lyft that have just destroyed the taxi cab industry. You know, New York, those little badges that go on the hood of a car there so that you could, you know, be licensed to run your cab in the city of New York. That seal or badge, at one point, that was worth, I want to say, close to $1 million in some instances, depending on what it would allow you to do and drive taxi-wise? Because you can run that taxi 24/7, 365 a year. And you could make some pretty good money if you got a reliable vehicle and or fleet and reliable, good drivers. But then Lyft came in and Uber came in and it totally disrupted that whole world. And now the disruption is affecting the car rental industry. Think about it. And, you know, I'm 54 years old and I like Uber and Lyft. I've used them from time to time. And the first time I used it, it was with my millennial age daughter who was showing me all the ins and outs of it. And those guys, that demographic group, they just love it. And I can see why. But getting back to the car rental industry, it's killing those guys. Because the millennials and the, you know, generation after them that are right now entering their prime earning years and are traveling for business or whatnot, they're not going to car rental agencies. Why would you? I'm just going to grab my phone right here and I'm going to order myself up an Uber or a Lyft while I'm still taxiing to the gate. And they'll meet me, boom, right there. Why do I want to spend an hour with my luggage and riding a crummy shuttle bus over to the car rental lot where I'm going to have to fill out paperwork and this? All I want to do is get to my hotel or this destination or that one. So the money you spend on that, the time you spend on that, it's becoming a factor, a big disruption. Car rental agencies bought up and borrowed huge amounts of money to buy new fleet vehicles because they were thinking the demand was going to be continuing the way it was, and they just didn't see this one coming. So now they're stuck with a lot of cars that aren't getting rented. They're trying to sell them off lots, and that's further depressing the prices because everybody's doing it at once. So we'll see. I was reading the other day where I think it was Hertz or one of the rental agencies like that. The stock price for that company was like $300 and some dollars. And it ended up plummeting down to about $40 some dollars after all of this. We'll talk about that a little bit more on Monday night. We'll check CBS News coming up here on WCCO.